بسم الله
معلش
والحمد
خليك هنا.
لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مكتبة الموحدين بالبحر الكاريبي يسعد تقديم الشيخ علي الوصيفي حفظه الله ورعاه. وبإذن الله تعالى اليوم يكون الدرس السابع من كنوز وفوائد في شهر رمضان، وهذا في التاسع من رمضان 1442 هجري، يوم الأربعاء الموافق 21 من أبريل 2021 ميلادي. Muhaddin Publications is pleased to announce a continuation of the classes with Sheikh Ali al-Wasifi, Hafidhahu Allah wa Ra'ah. And today, bidnillah, will be class number 7 from the treasures and benefits in the month of Ramadan. On the day of Wednesday, the 9th of Ramadan, 1442 Hijri, corresponding to the 21st of April, 2021 Miladi. فَلِيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا مَأْجُورًا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد صح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنب. بعد أن أشار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، خص ليلة من ليالي هذا الشهر بأنها مغفرة للذنوب، من قامها فإن الله عز وجل يغفر له ذنبه، ووضع لذلك شرطين. الشرط الأول هو أن يكون هذا القيام إيمانا بفرضية أو بمكانة هذه الليلة المباركة، أي بمكانة هذا التقدير الذي قدره الله عز وجل، وهذا الجزاء وهذا الثواب، أو بمقام هذه الليلة، يعني قامها تعظيما لمقامها عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولما يقع فيها من عطايا ورحمات ونعم فضلا ومنة من الله سبحانه وتعالى. واحتسابا أي يحتسب الأجر عند الله عز وجل، فالذي يقوم هذه الليلة لا بد أن يحتسب الأجر عند الله عز وجل، وهو مؤمن بما شرع الله وبما أوجب الله وبما ندب الله سبحانه وتعالى لعباده الصالحين. وورد في القرآن الكريم ذكر هذه الليلة في قول الله تبارك وتعالى: إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. وهذه الآية في سورة القدر بيان لعظمة شهر رمضان بما أنزل الله عز وجل فيه من القرآن، فسماها ليلة القدر أو ليلة القدر، يعني ليلة التقدير والشرف والحكم، فهي ليلة تقدير وشرف وحكم. القدر من التقدير، فإن الله عز وجل يقدر فيها أعمال العباد التي قدرها، وهذا التقدير تقدير خاص، وهو مأخوذ من التقدير العام المذكور فيما أمر الله عز وجل به القلم عندما قال له اكتب، قال ما اكتب؟ قال اكتب ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. فهذا هو التقدير العام. والتقدير الخاص في ليلة القدر فهو من جملة ما قدر الله عز وجل آنفا في الليل المحفوظ أو في اللوح المحفوظ. فالله عز وجل يقدر في هذه الليلة فيحيي حيا ويميت ميتا ويرزق فقيرا ويطعم مسكينا ويشفي مريضا وينصر المؤمنين على عدو ويقدر الله عز وجل فيها ما يشاء. سماها الله عز وجل في سورة الدخان باسم آخر، فقال إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين. والله عز وجل سمى ليلة القدر بأنها ليلة مباركة، ليلة مباركة، والبركة فيها في أن الله عز وجل ينزل فيها الرحمات مع الملائكة، فالملائكة تنزل بالرحمات وتنزل بالبركات من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى وتنزل بالسلام، فنزول الملائكة كله بركة. فالله عز وجل يثبت بالملائكة قلوب المؤمنين إذ يوحي ربك إلى الملائكة أني معكم فثبتوا الذين آمنوا. والملائكة الذين ينزلهم الله عز وجل ملائكة إما لتخليق الأجنة ونفخ الأرواح فيها، وإما أن ينزل جبريل بالوحي من عند الله عز وجل، وإذا ضرب في موضع فإن الله عز وجل يحييه، وإما الملائكة الذين ينزلون بالمطر والملائكة الآخرون الذين يحفظون ما يقوم به المرء. الشاهد أن الملائكة تنزل في هذه الليلة ليس نزولا متعلقا بالتدمير والخسف، ولكنه متعلق بالرحمة، يعني ليس تنزيل الملائكة متعلقا بالعذاب، وإنما هو متعلق برحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. ولذلك قال ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا وللبسنا عليهم ما يلبسون، وأن الله عز وجل لو أنزل الملائكة لقضي الأمر، فالملائكة لا تنزل إلا بالحق من عند الله عز وجل لمن عاند الرسل والأنبياء فيقع عليهم الهلاك. فهناك ملائكة للزلازل والبراكين، وملائكة للصيحة، وملائكة للنفخ، وغير ذلك من أنواع العذاب الذي ينزل من عند الله عز وجل على المكذبين الكافرين. أما ليلة القدر فهي ليلة سلام. فالشاهد أن ليلة القدر ذكرت بمعناها الأول في سورة القدر أنها ليلة التقدير، والقدر من الشرف والمكانة، والقدر أيضا من التقدير ومن الشرف والمكان، فهو من التقدير بمعنى الحكم، لأن الله يحكم بين العباد، والحكم متعلق بالتصريف الكوني، الله عز وجل يحكم الكون كله بتصريفه لأمور الخلق جميعا، ويحكم بالحكم الشرعي وهو الحكم، ويحكم ويفصل بين المتخاصمين. فالله عز وجل هو الحكم بمعنى المشرع، والحكم بمعنى القاضي الذي يقضي بين المتخاصمين أو المتخاصمين. فليلة القدر ليلة الحكم، ليلة التقدير، والقدر من القدر وهو الشرف والمكانة، فهي ليلة ذات شرف، وهي ليلة مباركة. هذا هو معنى ليلة القدر. تفضل.
قال كيرا ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا
وللبسنا عليهم ما يلبسون.
طيب. شيخ الوسيط حفظ الله صار البسين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Thereafter, it's been authenticated that from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, whoever stands up the Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, upon iman, upon belief and ihtisaba, upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his previous sins. And this statement of the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioned after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pointed out to the benefit of standing up the month of Ramadan, iman and wahtisaba, upon belief and upon expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he or she will have all their previous sins forgiven. So we learn from this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified a particular night from the nights of the month of Ramadan, that it will lead to total forgiveness of all the sins prior to that night, for whoever stand up that night. So we learn from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins with two conditions. The first, that this standing up during that night or standing up in prayer on the night of power, imana, upon belief, meaning to believe in the obligation of that night, that blessed night. To also believe in the reward and the recompense and the appreciation of that night. Also to believe in the status of that night that Allah has specified it with. In other words, whoever is stand up Laylatul Qadr out of glorifying the status that Allah has bestowed upon that one single night and what happens during that night of the giving and the bounties and the blessings of Allah, then he or she yani will fulfill that condition of being upon iman. The second condition here is ihtisaba, expecting the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To summon this up, whoever stand up the night of Laylatul Qadr must expect the reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he is believing in what Allah have destined in that night. It's also narrated in the Quran, mentioning of that night, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatil Qadr," and verily we have revealed it, meaning the Quran, on the night of power. This ayah in Surah Al-Qadr shows us the greatness of the month of Ramadan first and foremost, and also tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed during that month the whole Quran. And this is why it was named Laylatul Qadr. The word Al-Qadr comes from At-Taqdir, from appreciation. It is the night of appreciation. It is also the night of Ash-Sharaf, honor, and the night of Al-Hukm, the judgment. Again, Al-Qadr is from At-Taqdir. So the night of power is from the appreciation that Allah had bestowed upon that night. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will weigh during that night the actions of his servants that Allah have destined for the servant to do. It is also taken from another form of appreciation, which is called the general appreciation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the pen to write what will happen till the day of judgment. This is called taqdeer am, or general destiny, which I yani mistakenly initially translated as appreciation. The better translation here is destiny or pre-decree. So this general pre-decree that everything the pen wrote everything that will happen to the day of judgment by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is specific pre-decree or destiny is what Allah have destined in the preserved tablet beforehand. For example, as the Sheikh said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destines for somebody to die, somebody else to live, to provide for the poor, to cure the sick, to give victory to the Muslims upon their enemies. In other words, whatever Allah wills will happen. That is from what we mention as taqdeer, or general and as well as a specific pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Laylatul Qadr in Surah Al-Dukhan, in the chapter of the smoke, if you want to call it that, in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Laylatul Qadr, and he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have revealed it, meaning the Quran, fi laylatin mubarakah, on a blessed night. Verily, we were warners in it. And every matter of wisdom, meaning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be then ruled or judged. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named the night of power Laylatul Mubarakah. Apologies for this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dukhan named the Laylatul Qadr Laylah Mubarakah, blessed night. The barakah here, the blessing, is the fact that Allah will send down his angels with all kind of mercies as well as blessings, as well as peace, salam. The descending of the angels in general is always a blessing upon the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we learn from the ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the hearts of the believers firm by sending the angels to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels in the Quran, and when your Lord, meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the angels, meaning command the angels to keep the hearts of those who have believed firm. Angels also are in charge by the permission of Allah in creating the fetus in the wombs, and also in charge of blowing the soul in the fetus, as well as, for example, amongst other obligations upon the angels by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in the case with the archangel Jibreel coming down with the revelation upon prophets and messengers. Also the angels, for example, are in charge of the rain, and so many other examples, as you probably know. The benefit here, that during the night of power, on Laylatul Qadr, the angels would descend in a manner that only deals with the mercy of Allah. And they will not descend on the night of power with anything but the mercy of Allah. For example, they will not descend with the wrath of Allah, or the torture, or the torment of Allah, or the anger of Allah, as may be in other nights of the year. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and if we ever made him an angel, we would have turned him into a man. And we would have clothed him or covered him by what they have chosen. And I need to look actually a better translation for this. سامحني يا شيخ لازم اطلع ترجمة افضل لهذه لان هذه قوية شوي علي. ثانية واحدة.
الآية
الأخيرة ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا وللبسنا عليه ما يلبسون.
سأتيك بآية أخرى.
خلاص.
وكمل سأقول لك هذه الآية.
طيب.
ما ننزل الملائكة إلا بالحق وما كانوا إذن منظرين. والمراد أن الملائكة تنزل على الرسل وتنزل بالعزاء. فلو نزلت الملائكة بعد دعوة الرسل وكفر هؤلاء بهم فإنهم ينزلون بالعزاء لينصر الله عز وجل الرسول ويهلك الله عز وجل الكافرين. فلو أنهم سألوا ملائكة تنزل عليهم فإنهم لن يستطيعوا الإتيان بالعبادة على الوجه الذي يتناسب مع قدراتهم، لأن هؤلاء ملائكة وهؤلاء بشر. أما الرسول البشري الذي يوحي الله عز وجل إليه بالأمر، فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى يهيئه بما يقدر عليه ويكون مثالا ومثلا لأتباعه، يعني يكون مثلا تطبيقيا فعليا لما يجب عليهم أو لما أوجب الله عليهم من العبادة. أما أن يفعلوا مثل ما تفعل الملائكة فهذا شيء بعيد عليهم. الشاهد أن الملائكة تنزل على المؤمنين رحمة من عند الله عز وجل، وتنزل على الكافرين عذابا من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى.
عندك ولا من عند الأخ يوسف؟ في زي حركة كده جنب التليفون.
ليس عندك.
طيب خير إن شاء الله. طيب إذا الشيخ حفظه الله، شيخنا الآية الأولى ولو جعلناه ملكا لجعلناه رجلا، هل في أي سورة؟ من باب الفائدة للإخوة اللي يتابعوا سورة الأنعام لقيتها. والله الحمد لله. إذا الشيخ حفظه الله mentioned the ayah that's in Surah Al-An'am, verse 9. And had we appointed him an angel, we indeed would have made him a man, and we would have certainly caused them confusion in a matter which they have already covered with confusion. That is the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sheikh, yani, since it was difficult upon me to translate this, حفظه الله, help me out with another ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and the angels will not come down except with the truth. And the angels will not come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with the truth. And they are not. وَمَا كَانُوا إِلَّا مُنْظَرِينَ
وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ
نعم. And that is in Surah Al-Hijr, verse 8. We send not the angels down except with the truth. Example for this, for torment, etc. And in that case, they, meaning the disbelievers, would have no respite. And in that case, the case of torment, the disbelievers would have no respite or no respite. No respite or respite. طيب. So the Shaykh حفظه الله said to explain both ayat. The angels are sent by Allah for the prophets and messengers with the mercy for the believers, but they also sent with torment upon the disbelievers. In other words, after the angels are sent to the messengers of prophets, and after the message of the prophets and the messengers is told to the mankind, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the angels with the torment upon those والعياذ بالله that disbelieved in the messages, so much so that Allah will give victory or aid the messengers and the prophets and destroy the disbelievers. We learn from this, as the Sheikh said, that even if mankind tried to act upon the worship of the angels or imitate the angels in worship, and we are men, or we are yani from the mankind after all, we would not be able to imitate the angels in their worship. As for the messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared him in a way to teach us within our human capacity what is best for us in regards to actions of worship, in a way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his pleasure. So our messenger alayhi salatu wassalam was sent as a role model as well as an example for his followers. For us as a human being to do what the angels do, that is far from happening, because the angels have capacity that is way too different from human beings. So the benefits here again, we learn from all these ayat that we mentioned, that the angels will come down upon the believers as a mercy, and they will come down upon the disbelievers as torment. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And to go back to the rest of the part from the beginning, where, as the Sheikh said, حفظه الله, there are, for example, angels that come down to be in charge of earthquakes or to be in charge of volcanoes and so on, of what people mistakenly refer to as natural phenomena. To recap, Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, is from Taqdeer, meaning from the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also from the sharaf, from the honor that Allah had bestowed upon that night, as well as al-makanah, the status that Allah gave that night. And al-taqdeer here, or the pre-decree of Allah, meaning the rulings of Allah, or the judgment of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge between the servants. But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of the universal dominion, meaning all of his creation and how it is managed. But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of what we call al-hukm al-shar'i, or legislative affairs and judgments and rulings and so on. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge amongst those who disagree with one another, or those, wal-iyadu billah, who have problem with one another and so on. Laylatul Qadr refers to also the fact of the pre-decree of Allah. And Al-Qadr also is the honor and the status that Allah have specified that night with. And as we learned earlier, Laylatul Qadr also is a blessed night. That is the meaning of Laylatul Qadr. So if they are to ask the angels that are coming down on them, they would not be able to bring, and as we mentioned earlier, with the kind of worship the angels are able to do, and so on. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Naam, Shaykh.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ba'du, فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الآية أو في هذه السورة سورة القدر بين مكانة ليلة القدر وقال في بداية السورة إنا أنزلناه. فالله سبحانه وتعالى أشار إلى ضمير العظمة ليبين جلال الذي أنزله على عبده ونبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالقرآن في هذه الآية بيّن عظمة الله سبحانه وتعالى حيث أشار إلى ذلك بضمير العظمة إنا أنزلناه. والمشار إليه هنا هو القرآن، والقرآن لم يذكر تصريحا لأنه مشتهر ومعلوم بين الناس، وهذا دليل على عظمة القرآن وأنه يجب أن يعظم وأن يرفع وأن تكون المكانة العالية له بين الذين أنزل الله عز وجل عليهم هذا القرآن. قال إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. الإنزال هنا لم يشر إلى موضع الإنزال، فلم يقل أنه أنزله من علمه حتى يكون هو المتكلم به، وإنما قال إن أنزلناه. فالدلالة هنا إما أن تكون إلى أنه منزل من العلو،
وهذا الشيء الذي يعقله كل إنسان، أن أي شيء ينزل فلا بد أن يكون نازلا من العلو، والعلو إما أن يكون السماء فكل ما يشار إليه عاليا فهو سقف وهو عال على من هو تحته، كما قال الله عز وجل: ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا. وإما أن يكون منزل من أعالي الجبال كالحديد، وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد، وإما أن يكون منزل من شيء أعلى على شيء كما أنزل الأنعام، وأنزل لكم من الأنعام ثمانية أزواج. المراد أن ذكر الفحل يجامع أنساه وهو أعلى، يجامع أنساه وهو أعلى. الإنزال، لكن الدلالة هنا في أنه منزل من عند الله وأنه من علم الله أنه كلام، وأن هذا الكلام لم ينسب إلى السماء ولم ينسب إلى الجبال ولم ينسب إلى العرش، وإنما ينسب إلى قائله. الكلام ينسب إلى قائله ومن تكلم به، فتقول هذا كلام فلان. يبقى إذن حتى لو أنه مات في لغة العرب فإنك تشير إلى الكلام وتقول هذا كلام فلان، يعني هذا هو الذي تكلم به فلان. فكل كلام ليس منفصلا عن صاحبه وإنما هو منسوب إلى من قاله، يعني ليس هناك كلام كذات مجردة منفصلة في الهواء مستقلة عن صاحبها، فالكلام لابد أن يكون له صاحب ولا بد أن يكون منسوبا إلى متكلم. فقوله إن أنزلناه وهو نزل من العلو وليس منسوبا إلى مخلوق، فلا بد أن يكون منسوبا إلى الخالق سبحانه وتعالى. فالدلالة هنا دلالة عقلية، أما الدلالة الشرعية فهي في قول الله تبارك وتعالى: قل نزله روح القدس من ربك، وقول الله تبارك وتعالى: لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك أنزله بعلمه، يعني أنزله من علمه. يبقى إذن العلم من الله منسوب إلى الله، لأن نبي الله عيسى عليه السلام قال: تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك. يبقى إذن العلم في نفس الله، والله عز وجل تكلم بما يعلم وتكلم بما يريد وتكلم بما كتبه آنفا في اللوح المحفوظ. يبقى هذه دلالة شرعية أن الله يتكلم. وقال أيضا: وإن أحد من المشركين استجارك فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله. ففي هذا دليل على أن القرآن كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى المضاف إليه. وقال الله عز وجل سبحانه وتعالى أيضا في كتابه الكريم: وإذ نادى ربك موسى أن ائت القوم الظالمين. فالله عز وجل هو الذي ينادي، أن الله عز وجل هو الذي يتكلم، ويخرج كل ليلة في ثلث الليل الأخير ويقول: هل من داع فأستجيب له؟ هل من مستغفر فأغفر له؟ هل من سائل فأعطيه؟ فهذا دليل على أن الله هو الذي يتكلم. وإذا كان الله قائما بنفسه فلا بد أن يتكلم وأن يرزق وأن يعطي وأن يحيي وأن يميت وأن يضحك وأن يعجب وأن يفرح وأن يعلو على ما هو عال عليه وأن ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا نزولا يليق بجلاله. دون أن يحل في شيء من مخلوقاته أو يخلو منه العرش. فأفعال الله فوق ما يشاهد من أمثال المخلوقين، لا تقدر العقول على معرفة كنه ذاته ولا معرفة كنه صفاته وأفعاله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني لا يجب أن يسأل الإنسان كيف يتكلم الله، فالله يقدر أن يتكلم لأنه على كل شيء قدير، ولا كيف يسمع الله الخلائق جميعا في وقت واحد، فالله يسمع الخلائق جميعا في وقت واحد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ولا كيف يكلم الله العباد يوم القيامة في وقت واحد ويحاسبهم في وقت واحد، فالله على كل شيء قدير. لذلك قيل لعلي: كيف يحاسب الله العباد في وقت واحد؟ قال: الذي رزقهم في وقت واحد يحاسبهم في وقت واحد. إذن إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر الدلالة فيها عقلية، أما الدلالة الشرعية التي تتكلم على أن الله يتكلم فهي في آيات كثيرة، فكما قلنا: لكن الله يشهد بما أنزل إليك أنزله بعلمه، وعلم الله عز وجل في نفسه، وعلم الله ليس مخلوقا، والكلام من علم الله عز وجل، إذن كلام الله ليس مخلوقا. فمن قال إن كلام الله مخلوق فهو بالضرورة يقول إن علم الله مخلوق، لأن الكلام من العلم. والمراد أو المراد معناه أي أن أصل الكلام العلم، وأصل الكلام الإرادة. يعني الإنسان يتكلم بما يعلمه وبما يريده، ولذلك قال: إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. فهذا مبني على علمه المسبق ومبني على إرادته وقصده في إيقاع الشيء وقت ما يشاء سبحانه وتعالى. يبقى إذن إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر، أنزلناه يعني نزل من عند الله. طيب كيف نزل من عند الله؟ الله عز وجل كتبه في اللوح المحفوظ، كتبه في زبر الأولين، وإنه لفي زبر الأولين. الله عز وجل يتكلم به حسب الحوادث لجبريل عليه السلام لينزل على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يبقى إذن القرآن نزل مرتين، نزل في ليلة القدر جملة واحدة كما قال ابن عباس: من اللوح المحفوظ إلى بيت العزة في السماء الدنيا، نزل جملة واحدة. وتكلم الله عز وجل بما كتب في اللوح المحفوظ حسب الأحداث والوقائع. والمراد أن الكفار أصلا سألوا عن ذلك، فقالوا وقال الذين كفروا: لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة. فقال الله عز وجل: كذلك لنثبت به فؤادك ورتلناه ترتيلا. يبقى نزل مرتلا. طيب، أجمع أهل السنة والجماعة خلافا للأشاعرة أن الله عز وجل يتكلم بالقرآن لجبريل عليه السلام، وجبريل يسمع من الله عز وجل. وهذا أيضا ثابت في حديث آخر أن الله إذا أراد أن يوحي بالأمر صعقت الملائكة جميعا في السماوات، ويكون أول من يفيق من الملائكة جبريل، فيوحي الله عز وجل إليه بالأمر، فتسأله الملائكة ويقولون له: ماذا قال ربكم؟ فيقول: الحق وهو العلي الكبير. يعني قال الحق وهو العلي الكبير. فيخبر جبريل الملائكة بكل أمر يقع في الأرض، لأن الله وكل الملائكة في إحداث الوقائع التي يشاؤها في الأرض. هناك ملائكة موكلون بالنبات والزرع وهناك ملائكة موكلون بتثبيت المؤمنين، وملائكة موكلون بحفظ أعمال العباد، وهناك ملائكة موكلون بالأجنة، وهناك ملائكة موكلون بالزلازل والبراكين، وملائكة موكلون بالقلوب وتثبيت المؤمنين كما ذكرنا. فهذه الأمور كلها يوحي الله عز وجل بها إلى جبريل، وجبريل يمر على كل ملأ من الملائكة فيوحي إليه بما تكلم الله سبحانه وتعالى معه. فهذا يحدث إذا أراد الله عز وجل أن يوحي بالأمر، سواء كل يوم كما قال كل يوم هو في شأن، أو كل عام لقوله إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. فكل ملك يعرف المهمة التي أوكله الله عز وجل بها عن طريق جبريل، وجبريل عرفها لأن الله كلمه مباشرة. إذا أهل السنة والجماعة لأن الله يتكلم بالقرآن مباشرة لجبريل عليه السلام، خلافا للأشاعرة الذين يقولون إن الله لا يتكلم ولكن جبريل يأخذ القرآن من اللوح المحفوظ، وهذا غير صحيح ولا دليل عليه، ولا دليل عليه. ومعنى إجماع أئمة السلف على أن الله عز وجل هو الذي يتكلم مع جبريل، وجبريل يسمع كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذه مسألة، إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر. وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر؟ يعني وما أشعرك بليلة القدر؟ يعني ما علمك بليلة القدر؟ يعني أتعرف ليلة القدر؟ هي خير من ألف شهر، خير من ألف شهر باختصار، صومها وقيامها والعمل فيها. وهذا الذي قاله ابن جرير الطبري رحمة الله عليه، واستقر الأئمة أنهم قالوا أن ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر ليس فيه أو فيها ليلة القدر، أو ليس فيه ليلة القدر. يعني ألف شهر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر ليس فيه ليلة الإيه؟ ليلة القدر. والملائكة ينزلون بالرحمة كما بينا قبل ذلك، الرحمة والبركة. إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، يعني خير يعني أعلى وأعظم. والليلة مخصوصة بعطاء خاص ليس موجودا في بقية الأيام، فليس هناك نوع من المشاركة في الثواب ولا في الأجر ولا في الرحمة ولا في العطاء. هذه الليلة ليلة لا يكون للشيطان فيها سبيل على أهل الإيمان، ليلة لا يقذف فيها شهاب على الشياطين لأن الشياطين لا حيلة لهم في هذه الليلة، ليلة ليست باردة ولا حارة، ليلة سالمة من جميع الآفات والبلايا، ليلة صبيحتها تخرج الشمس كأنها يعني بيضاء مستنيرة لا ظلمة فيها، لا ظلمة فيها. فليلة القدر ليلة فيها شرف. كان النبي إذا أدرك ليلة القدر أو إذا أدرك العشر الأواخر من ليلة من شهر رمضان، لأن العشر الأواخر من شهر رمضان تقع ليلة القدر فيها، يبقى ليلة القدر تقع في رمضان في أي موضع؟ في العشر الأواخر. في أي موضع من العشر الأواخر؟ في الوتر من العشر الأواخر. وثبت هناك حديث أنها في ليلة 27، وهذا معين بالزمن. وهناك حديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى ليلة القدر فخرج ليخبر بها الناس، فتلاح أسناني، تلاح أسناني يعني تمار أسناني، تجادل أسنان، فنسيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فاستشهد العلماء من ذلك أن المجادلة والمماراة ولي الحقائق ولي الكلام ولدت في الخصومة يؤدي إلى ضعف البركة في العلم، بل يؤدي إلى نسيان العلم. فلذلك يجب على الشباب أن يحرصوا على عدم المماراة والمجادلة مع العلماء والأئمة وأهل الخير والفضل ومع إخوانهم، لأن ذلك يمسح البركة من العلم. النبي خرج ليخبر الناس بليلة القدر فتمارى اسناني فقط، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرفعت، يعني لما تمارى اسنان خرج ليخبرهم، بمجرد أنه خرج ليخبرهم وجد اسنين يتلاحيان فيما بينهما، أي يتماران فيما بينهما، فنسي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان يريد أن يقوله. وهذا دليل على أنه ليس من الأمر اللازم، لأن إخفاء ليلة القدر فيه إشعار لكثرة العبادة، لأن الرجل لو عرف أن ليلة القدر سيكون ليلة محددة في شهر لازمة لا تتغير ولا تتبدل، فهذا يدعوه إلى ترك الشهر كله للاستبقاء على ليلة القدر. ولكنها عميت في رمضان، وعميت في العشر الأواخر، وعميت في الوتر من عشر الأواخر، حتى يكسر اجتهاد الناس فيها. ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا دخل العشر الأواخر أيقظ أهله وأحيا ليلة وشد المئزر. كلمة شد المئزر معناها أن النبي تفرغ للعبادة، معنى شد المئزر يعني تفرغ للعبادة، وقيل شد المئزر يعني ابتعد عن النساء، هذا هو المعنى. الشاهد أن ليلة القدر ليلة عمل وصيام وقيام ودعاء، وليلة لدراسة القرآن، وليلة للدعاء. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجتمع مع جبريل وكان يدرسه القرآن، وفي آخر حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم درس القرآن مرتين. فدراسة القرآن وقراءة القرآن والاحتكام بالقرآن والاستشفاء بالقرآن والعمل بالقرآن والتبرك بالقرآن، هذا هو محض عمل المسلمين في أيام رمضان، ولا سيما في العشر الأواخر يتقرب بها إلى الله عز وجل عائشة لذوات المزيد وغيره. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لما سألته يعني إذا وفقت لها ليلة القدر ماذا تقول فيها، فقال قول اللهم إنك عفو عز وجل، لأن العفو هو إزالة ومحو السيئات، والمغفرة هي ستر السيئات، والرحمة هي جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. وإذا غفر الله لعبد فإنه يرحمه، وإذا يعني غفر له يعني ستره، يعني إذا تاب وغفر له وعفى عنه يعني أزال ذنوبه، فإنه يبدلها إلى حسنات، وإذا بدلها إلى حسنات أدخله الجنة. يعني نهاية العفو والستر والمغفرة العتق من النار ودخول الجنة. هو العفو والعافية في الدين والدنيا، والمغفرة من الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلذلك كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعتكف العشر الأواخر، يعني يبتعد يخلو بنفسه به سبحانه وتعالى، وفي هذه الخلوة مع الله سبحانه وتعالى أنس به دون الأنس بالعباد، وفرح بلقائه دون الفرح بالعباد، وإخفاء للعبادات والأعمال حتى لا يظهرها للعباد ويكون له حظ فيها، فربما أنه يزينها لهم وهو لا يشعر. فلو أنه أداها خالصة لوجه الله لكان هذا خيرا له، ولذلك كان النبي يعتكف يبتعد عن الناس، وكان أن ما يكون في رمضان، وكان أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة، وكان يعطي عطاء من لا يخشى، توكل على الله سبحانه في ليلة القدر. وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر؟ ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، ملائكة والروح فيها، الملائكة الذي مسنا و وفي الجمال ما يشاء. وفي معنى آخر قال يريد في الصوت ما يشاء، فالملائكة والملائكة ينظرون إلى أحدكم كما ينظر أحدكم إلى قصعة طعامه. وعدد الملائكة الذين ينزلون في ليلة القدر بعدد حصى الأرض، فإن الله عز وجل له ملائكة في كل موضع في السماء سبحانه وتعالى. هؤلاء الملائكة يعني كما قال النبي ما من موضع أربع أصابع إلا وفيه ملك راكع وساجد لله سبحانه وتعالى. وقد قال الله عز وجل وما يعلم جنود ربك إلا هو وما هي إلا ذكرى للبشر. وقال وما جعلنا أصحاب النار إلا ملائكة، وبين الله عز وجل درجات الملائكة وعظمة الملائكة. فالملائكة مخلوقون من نور ولهم فضل عظيم، لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها، الروح هو جبريل عليه السلام، الروح وهذا في أصح الأقوال أن الروح هو جبريل عليه السلام، وعطف الروح الذي هو جبريل على الملائكة، يعني عطف الروح جبريل وهو الخاص على الملائكة وهم العام من النص، دليلا على أن له مكانة، أن له مكانة عليا عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. وذكر ربنا قال إيه؟ قل من كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل وميكان، فخص جبريل لأنه ملك موكل بالوحي وموكل بالزلازل، وكانت اليهود يبغضونه فخص الله بالذكر، وجبريل وميكال للإنبات والزرع، فكان اليهود يكرهون هذين الملكين، فبين الله فضلهما، فتخصيص ذكرهم لبيان فضلهم. فذكر الله عز وجل أن جبريل ينزل وتنزل معه الملائكة، فهذا دليل على فضل وعظمة تلك الليلة، أن جنود الله سبحانه وتعالى ينزلون. حتى في بعض الروايات أن جبريل لا يضع يعني كما في رواية عن كعب أنه لا يترك مؤمنا إلا ويصافحه، حتى قال وإن أحدكم لا يجد ذلك في دمعة عين أو في كشعريرة جلد أو رجفان قلب. فالشاهد يعني أن الملائكة تنزل للسلام ولمصافحة الناس وفرحا بما أنعم الله عز وجل على الناس، وهذا دليل على أن الملائكة تفرح للمؤمنين باليوم الذي أكرمهم الله عز وجل فيه من الثواب والأجر العظيم، لأن الملائكة خصهم الله عز وجل بالدعاء للمؤمنين الذين يحملون العرش ومن حوله يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويؤمنون به ويستغفرون للذين أمنوا. الذين يحملون العرش ومن حولهم فيسبحون بحمد ربهم ويؤمنون به ويستغفرون للذين آمنوا ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما فاغفر للذين تابوا. الملائكة تنزل بالرحمة، الملائكة تنزل بالبركة، الملائكة تنزل في حلق الذكر فتحفها، الملائكة تضع أجنحتها لطالب العلم رضا بما يصنع، الملائكة تنزل لتسمع القرآن من المؤمنين لأن الملائكة لا تقرأ القرآن، فإذا سمعوا أحدا يقرأ القرآن تداعى بعضهم مع بعض وقالوا هلموا إلى حاجتكم ليسمعوا القرآن، لأن الملائكة تقرأ القرآن، الذي كان يقرأ القرآن على النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وجبريل عليه السلام كان يقرأ القرآن ويسمع القرآن، لكن بعد ذلك الملائكة لا تقرأ القرآن كما نقرأ نحن القرآن، وإنما الملائكة تنزل حلقة الذكر لتسمع القرآن. فالملائكة إذن يفرحون بالقرآن ويفرحون بالمؤمنين ويدعون للمؤمنين، فهلما أيها المؤمنون إلى جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدها الله عز وجل للصائمين والقائمين والركع السجود والمستغفرين والأتقياء والصالحين، تلك الجنة التي نورث من عبادنا من كان تقيا، من كان تقيا، اللهم اجعلنا من الأتقياء والصالحين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر، حتى مطلع الفجر، نسأل الله عز وجل أن يرزقنا ليلة القدر وأن يجعلها سلاما لنا ورحمة منه ورضوانا، اللهم أمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم ورحمة
الله
وبركاته،
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ. الله يبارك فيك، مع
السلامة. So as the Sheikh Abdullah continued and said, Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah, thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat in Surah Al-Qadr shows us the status of Laylatul Qadr. And he said in the beginning of the surah, Inna anzalnahu. Inna here, referring to Allah, as we may translate that in English, and we have revealed it, meaning the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing to what we call in Arabic Damir al-Azama, or the reference or the adjective of glory, referring to himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows us the might of that night, the might of the Quran that he revealed upon his servant, meaning upon his prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, which is the Quran in this ayah. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself and pointed to himself, as we said in the Arabic language, with Damir al-Azama, or the adjective of the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the adjective of glory. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the ayat and said, Inna anzalnahu, or we have revealed it, in there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the Quran. And the Quran was not mentioned by name in this case because it is well known and it is famous amongst the people, which in itself shows us the greatness of the Quran and shows us also that the Quran must be glorified and raised above and beyond any text. And only the Quran has such a high status amongst those that Allah have revealed it to them. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat again, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. We have revealed it, O Muhammad, on the night of power. We have revealed it, O Muhammad, on the night of power. Verily, we have sent it, this Quran, down in the night of Al-Qadr, or the night of decree, or the night of power, as some of the translators may translate it as the night of power, or the night of decree. The fact of descending does not point out to a physical place. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, for example, in the ayat, and we have revealed it from our knowledge. So we know that He, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who spoke of it. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have revealed it, and stopped at that point. That indicates that the Quran is revealed from somewhere that is high. And this actually what makes sense to mankind. The highness here may refer to the heavens above. The highness also, or as they say in Arabic language, everything that is high has a roof or a ceiling. In other words, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and we have revealed from the heavens a blessed water, referring to the rain, in another ayah. Also, it could be coming down from a mountain, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the iron, to the metal of iron. And He said, and we have revealed the iron. In it is a strength, is great strength for mankind. Or it could be from something higher than another, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, I believe, and we have revealed to them from Al-An'am, from all of the beasts, 8 pairs. The point here, that the ayah in Surah Al-Qadr, Inna zanna fi laylat al-qadr, refers to the fact the Quran was revealed from somewhere higher than the creation. It means, in other words, that it's been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, it is a speech. But that speech was never, for example, tied to the heavens as something that's higher than the creation. And it was not related, for example, to the mountains. And it was not even related to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, that speech can only be connected to the sayer of the speech, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the one that said the Quran. As may be the case, actually, when somebody hears somebody else and said, somebody spoke. So people naturally would say that speech belongs to the person that spoke it. Even if that individual already passed away, people cannot take his speech away from him. And that's in the language of the Arabs. For example, amongst the Arabs, they would say, this is the speech of so-and-so. Meaning that the speech itself is not a separate entity. You have to understand that point. Speech itself is not a separate entity, that's separate in thin air and independent from the one that said that speech. But rather, any spoken word must have a source, must have an owner. Every spoken word must have an owner and must belong to somebody, in other words. Because a speech, if we say a speech does not belong to anybody, then we fall into the mistake of making the claim that a speech is created, wal-ayyadu billah. So speech itself, the speech meaning the Quran here, must be connected to the Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of the above, as the Sheikh said, with proofs and evidence based upon intellect. And I know it was kind of going around in circles, but to make the point clear, these are proofs based upon intellect. As for the proofs that are based upon the religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, but your Lord testifies by what He have revealed to you, O Muhammad. He, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have revealed it with His knowledge. Have revealed it with His knowledge. And the Sheikh mentioned another ayah, but Allah al-Musta'an, I did not write the other ayah. But this ayah here, we learn that Allah testifies that whatever He revealed to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was revealed by the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tells us too that the knowledge is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet Isa or Jesus, عليه السلام said in the Quran that Allah said about him that he said, Isa said that, oh Allah, you know what's in my nafs, what I'm hiding in my chest or my heart, and I do not know what's in your nafs, and I do not know what's in your nafs, or yani what Allah is hiding from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with what he knows and what he wants and what he wrote previously in the preserved tablet in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. So this is a proof based upon the legislation, meaning the religion of Allah, that Allah speaks. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, and he said, and if anybody from the people of shirk, people of polytheism, asked for your protection, O Muhammad, then give him that protection until he hears the speech of Allah. That is in itself is a proof that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and it is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran also, and when your Lord called upon Musa or Moses, that go to the oppressing people or the oppressive people. Here, from that ayah, we learn that Allah was the one that was calling Musa or Moses. Therefore, Allah was the one speaking to Musa or Moses. We also learn from the hadith that in the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven, and he'll be asking anybody who's calling upon me, so to answer this call, their call, whoever is asking for forgiveness, I would forgive him, and so on, as is stated in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So if Allah is established all by himself, as we discussed that in previous classes, therefore, Allah is able to speak, just as he's able to bring somebody to life, put somebody to death, to show his happiness or his joy, just as he's high above his throne, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven above the earth in the last third of the night without being part of his creation and without leaving his throne at the same time. We learn actually from all of the above that the human intellect can never learn how is Allah himself. We can never learn the that of Allah. We cannot ever learn also how are the perfect attributes of Allah, or how are the perfect actions of Allah. In other words, it's not for us as human beings to ask how Allah speaks. It's not for us to ask how Allah speaks. But rather we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all of the creation all together at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all of the creation all together, all at the same exact time. And we cannot ask, for example, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak all to all of the creation on the day of judgment all in one time either. As it was said to Ali radiallahu anhu, how could Allah be speaking to all of mankind at the same time? Then Ali answered and said, the one that provided for them all at the same time is able to judge all of them at the same time. So the question probably was, and I apologize for the mistake here, how could Allah judge or hold the people accountable all at the same time? Then Ali radiallahu anhu said, the one who provides for them all at the same time is able to judge him all at the same time. As for also the proofs based upon the Sharia, is mentioned in so many verses in the Quran. And as we always mention, please take notes of any mention of the ayat. It's best actually if you listen to the Arabic itself of the Sheikh and try to know as many ayat and as many hadith as possible so you can look it up and learn more about it. In one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies to you, O Muhammad, that he has revealed it, meaning the Quran, with his knowledge. Speech is from the knowledge of Allah. Therefore, speech is not created, because the knowledge of Allah is not created. And whoever says that the speech of Allah is created, then, wal'iyadhu billah, mistakenly, of course, or wrongly, they claim that the knowledge of Allah is created, which is not true. That's totally false. The benefit here, that the origin of the speech of Allah, meaning the speech of Allah, comes from the knowledge of Allah. And the knowledge of Allah comes from the will of Allah, from al-irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A proof for this is mentioned in the ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily his commands, if he wants anything to happen, to say to it, be, and it will be. We learn from that, that this is based upon previous knowledge, meaning knowledge that Allah kept to himself until he destines for that knowledge to be dispensed. And also based upon the will of Allah and the intent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in wanting to for anything to happen whenever he subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to happen. Again, so the speech of Allah is based upon knowledge that Allah himself alone subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and keeps to himself. But it's also based upon the will of Allah as well as the intent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he wants something to happen, whenever he subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to happen. Going back to the ayat in Surah Al-Qadr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have sent it, meaning this Quran, down in the night of Al-Qadr, or the night of decree, or the night of power, depending on what translation you use. That tells us that the Quran was revealed all in one shot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all together, in the preserved tablet, that the Quran was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Quran was revealed all at one time, in one go per se, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote it in his preserved tablet, in the preserved tablet. But also parts of that Quran was revealed earlier, before the time of the Muslims, in the papers of first generations. Bits and pieces of the Quran were revealed in the papers or the holy books of previous generations before the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with the Quran in accordance to the incidents and circumstances to Jibreel, to the archangel Gabriel. So Gabriel would hear it from Allah first and take it and reveal it upon Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, the Quran was revealed twice. The first, on the night of Al-Qadr, on the night of decree, was revealed all in one go, all together, from the preserved tablet to the first heaven. And that's according to the narrations of Ibn Abbas. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak with what's in the preserved tablet from the Quran in accordance to the incidents and circumstances that happens throughout the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that in the Quran, and those who have disbelieved said, if it was revealed upon, meaning the Quran, all in one go, and it would be best actually if I bring وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا لَوْ نَنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهَا الْقُرْآنَ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً أَيُّوَا. I apologize for this, but to make sure that the meaning is clear. And actually the ayah is in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 32. And those who disbelieve said, why is not the Quran revealed to him all at once? Thus it is sent down in parts, that we may strengthen your heart thereby, and we have revealed it to you gradually in stages. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 23 years. So the people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah have gathered upon the opinion, which is opposing, of course, the way of al-Asha'ira, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of the Quran to Jibreel, to the archangel Gabriel. And Gabriel would hear it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know from the hadith, wanted to reveal any parts of the Quran, then all of the angels would be shocked into unconsciousness. And the first to wake up from that shock would be the archangel Jibreel. And he would hear what he needs to hear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah allows him to hear. Then the rest of the angels, upon waking up from that shock, would be asking Jibreel, what did your Lord say? As we learn from the hadith as well as the ayat. Then Jibreel, the archangel Jibreel, would say, he said the truth, and he is Al-Aliyul Kabir. He's the most high Al-Kabir. Then Jibreel would tell the angels of everything that will happen upon the earth from what Allah have revealed to him. Because we know as Muslims that there are angels that Allah put in charge, for example, of plant life and agriculture, just as there are angels in charge of the believers, just are there angels in charge of recording the actions of the servant, just like the angels are also, there are angels in charge of the fetuses and the wombs. There are also angels in charge of volcanoes and earthquakes and so on. Just like angels, they're in charge of the hearts of the people. All of these matters that the angels are in charge of are based upon revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the archangel Jibreel first. And then Jibreel will relay that to the rest of the angels and will tell those angels of what Allah has spoken with him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, كل يوم هو في شأن. Naam, every day he is upon يعني a different state and the like. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned at the beginning of Surah Al-Qadr, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily we have revealed it on the night of decree, that means once a year, every year. So we learn from all of the above that the archangel Jibreel speaks to Allah directly. And that's actually part of the belief of people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, which is completely opposed by Al-Asha'ira. Al-Asha'ira say, Allah does not speak, but Jibreel, the archangel Jibreel, takes the Quran from the preserved tablet. Reality is, what the Asha'ira are claiming has no proof whatsoever from the Sunnah or the Quran. What is authentic, what is correct, that the people of Sunnah believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with Jibreel, and Jibreel hears directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the ayat continue, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what do you know, if we want to say that, of the night of power, or the night of decree? And what will make you know what the night of Al-Qadr or decree is? Now, it is better than 1,000 months. In summary, the Sheikh said, the fasting of that day, the standing up of that night, the action throughout that day and that night, as Ibn Jarir mentioned, it refers to all of the above. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laylatul Qadr khayru min alfi shahr, that the night of power is better than 1,000 months, those 1,000 months do not have a second Laylatul Qadr. Pay attention to that point. So Laylatul Qadr, as we know it, according to the revelation, is better than 1,000 months. In reward, including the fasting, the standing up the night, all of the good actions, righteous actions that people do, that the believers do. It means that the night of decree is greater than a whole 1,000 months, as we mentioned. And this is a very particular kind of يعني blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can never be found on any other day of the year. In other words, there's no other night throughout the year, the calendar year, that can have the same amount of ata, giving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or mercy of Allah, or other than that, from the blessings of Allah. On that night also, the shaitan, Satan, the devils, will not have any leeway whatsoever with the believers. But rather, it will be complete peace. People will be so peaceful from all kind of evil as well as all kind of disease. It's morning. The sun will come out bright and white without any darkness around it. Also during that night, there will not be any lightning because, as the Sheikh mentioned, the devils themselves as well as the jinn will not have any leeway on that night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he comes to the last 10 days of the month, as we know from the narrations, the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan is when Laylatul Qadr comes in. There was other narrations that it's only on the odd nights of the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. There's another hadith that says that it was the 27th night of the month of Ramadan. But that is related to a particular time. Pay attention to that point. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was given when exactly the time for the night of decree, the night of power, and when he tried to come out, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming out to tell the believers, he found two people arguing about it. So Allah made the Prophet of Allah forget exact time for Laylatul Qadr. That's what we mean by the 27th night. There was a particular time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forget that exact time. There's a side benefit here, the Sheikh said. Argument, disagreement, any kind of debating amongst the believers will actually lead to weakness in the blessings in seeking knowledge. Again, argument and disagreement will lead to weakness in the blessings, in the benefit that anyone is trying to get out of seeking knowledge. This is why it's a must upon the youth, for example, to strive on not arguing with the scholars. Because if they do so, that will erase the blessing, the benefit from the knowledge, wal'iyadu billah, that will take away from the knowledge that this youth are trying to gain from the scholars. As we learn from the hadith itself, when two of the Sahaba were arguing about the exact night Laylatul Qadr is, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to tell him, he was made to forget the exact night. Or rather, he forgot what he wanted to say by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That shows us okay, there's a part here that I wrote that I cannot understand, or I forgot exactly what it means. But the benefit after that, when the believer, and here's the side benefit out of this, if the believer would know of the exact time for Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, then the believer may fall into laziness for the rest of the month of Ramadan. This is why the exact time of Laylatul Qadr was hidden from the believers. And generally speaking, we know it's in the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's in the last 10 days of Ramadan. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when the last 10 days of Ramadan comes in, he would wake up his people, and he would stand up the night in prayer, and he would tighten his izar. Tighten the izar here refers to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ would be totally free for worship. But tighten the izar also may refer to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would stay away from his wives in the last 10 days of Ramadan. The point here, Laylatul Qadr is the night of standing up. It's the night of Qiyam. It is also a night of dua, of supplication. It's a night of studying the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to meet Jibreel and study the Quran with him every single Ramadan. And at the end of his life, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam studied the Quran twice in the month of Ramadan. So studying the Quran, learning the rulings and judgments from the Quran, seeking the cure from the Quran, amongst other blessings and ways and means that Allah has facilitated for us in the Quran, is what the action of the Muslims should rotate around during the days of Ramadan, especially the last 10 days of Ramadan. As we learn from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, as mentioned in Sahih al-Tirmidhi, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the success to reach Laylatul Qadr, you must make the dua, Allahumma innaka afu wa tuhibbu al-afu fa'fu 'anna. Oh Allah, you are afu, you are the most forgiven, that you love to forgive. So forgive us, so overlook our shortcomings. Ameen, ameen. From that hadith, we learn that the greatest what a servant would hope for is get the afu of the Lord Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks all his shortcomings. And what is afu, by the way? Al-afu, or overlooking your shortcomings, is in itself maghfirah, is the forgiveness of Allah. Is also satr sayyi'at, meaning is covering all of your evil deeds, or hiding your evil deeds away from the rest of the creation, which eventually will lead to for the believers to enter the paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the permission of Allah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you, then Allah, first, if Allah overlooks your shortcomings, then Allah will forgive you. And if Allah forgives you, then He will replace your evil deeds with good deeds. And consequently, Allah will enter you into the paradise. May Allah make us from those who are permitted to Allah to enter the paradise. So the end, or the end result of al-af, or the paradise rather, is the end result of al-af, the overlooking of our shortcomings, as well as as-sitr, the covering of all our evil deeds or hiding our evil deeds, as well as al-maghfirah, the forgiving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all what we have done that is wrong. Again, the greatest what you could be asking for on that night or the last 10 days of Ramadan is al-afu al-afiyah, is, as we translate that loosely in English, safety and salvation. In the religion, first and foremost, in this world that we live, as well as in the hereafter. As the hadith or the dua that is famous about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afu al-afiyah fi al-deen wa al-dunya wa al-akhirah. We also know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make i'tikaf, used to go into isolation in the last 10 days of Ramadan, meaning he would be alone with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would stay away from everybody and be in total mode of worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this isolation with Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is seeking the comfort and the tranquility of the companionship of Allah Almighty, and replacing anything else other than Allah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to comfort, companionship, and so on. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be looking for the joy of being closer to Allah than being closer to the servants of Allah. So if we as believers fulfill that sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may be from those that become free from the hellfire. Also, the women of the Prophet ﷺ, the mothers of the believers, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, would make i'tikaf in the masjid, would go into isolation in the masjid. And that is the action of the believers when it comes to يعني the last 10 days of Ramadan is to make more qiyam, to stand up even longer than what they were doing previously during the month. Make more ruku' and make more sujood, go into i'tikaf or isolation, and do all kind of actions of righteousness. Our Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of mankind, but he was even more generous during the month of Ramadan. He was more generous than the wind that was sent by Allah by all kind of blessings. He would actually give in a fashion that he never feared poverty. Going back to the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have revealed it on the night of power. And if you continue with the ayat from the Quran, therein descend the angels and the ruh, Jibreel, Gabriel, by Allah's permission with all decrees. Therein descends the angels and the ruh, Jibreel, Gabriel, by Allah's permission with all decrees. And we know that the angels have wings. Some may have two or three or four and so on. And they increased in their beauty and in the creation by the permission of Allah. In another statement, it refers to the voice of the angels, not the angels themselves. And we know the angels are created from light and they have wings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, I was permitted by Allah to describe to you one of the angels that are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The distance between the loop or the lower loop of his ear and his shoulder is as far as the heavens from the earth, is as far as the distance between the heavens and the earth. The number of the angels that come down during the night of decree is as many as the pebbles upon the face of this earth. Is as many as the pebbles or the rocks of this earth. As we learn from another narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that not a single place between the heavens and the earth that may be as big as four of your fingers put together, except that you will find an angel in it, either making ruku' or making sujood. Allahu Akbar. And here, again, I missed one of the ayat the Sheikh mentioned, but the other ayah, or the benefit from the ayah, that the Sheikh Habibullah said, and then the angels are created from light, and they were given by Allah a great fadl, a great superiority over other creation. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any command whatsoever. And Ar-Ruh, of course, as referred to in the ayat, is the archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's according to the most authentic of statements, according to the scholars of tafsir. But the side benefit here, the mentioning of Ar-Ruh, meaning the archangel Jibreel, after mentioning all of the angels, is from referring what is specific to what is general. What is specific here or particular is the archangel Jibreel alayhi salam himself. What is general is all of the other angels. That shows us the higher status that Allah has given to the archangel Jibreel. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, and whoever is an enemy to Allah and his angels and his messengers and Jibreel and Mikael or Mikael. And why Jibreel was given that superiority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all other angels? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the archangel Jibreel in charge of the revelation, meaning taking down the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon all of the prophets and messengers, or all of the messengers rather, including Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But also Jibreel is in charge of the earthquakes, subhanallah. Also, the Jews hate Jibreel. And this is why Allah specified him with particular mentioning in the Quran. And Mikael was also specified after Jibreel because Mikael was put in charge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of all of the agriculture and the plant life on this earth. So the specificity here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Jibreel and Mikael by name after mentioning all of the angels to show us their superiority above and beyond other angels. Jibreel on the night of Qadr on Laylat al-Qadr will come down and all of the angels will come down with him. Imagine this, the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down from the heavens on that night. In a narration from, if I'm not mistaken, Ubay ibn Ka'b, it was said that the angels will not leave a single believer except that they will shake his or her hand. The angels will be observing the teardrops coming out of the eyes of the believers. That not a single teardrop coming down, in other words, from the eyes of the believers on that night, except the angels will be observing that or will be a reason for that. That your skin crawling with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be due to the fact that an angel is so close to you. So on that night, the angels will come down to shake your hands and give you the salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tells us that the angels are happy for the believers, for what Allah had blessed them with on that night. Those who are carrying the throne of Allah and those who are around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm paraphrasing the ayat here, are making tasbih, are saying subhanallah, with the hamd of Allah, with praising Allah. And they're seeking forgiveness for those who have believed in our Lord, Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His mercy and His knowledge encompassed everything. The angels would descend with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another benefit that we learn in this class, the angels descend upon the circles of knowledge. The angels would put their wings for the student of knowledge, would put their wings down for the student of knowledge. When the angels hear the Quran from any reciter, they will be calling one another and say, hey, come over here. Let's hear this believer reciting the Quran. Pay attention here. Jibreel alayhi salam was the only angel allowed by Allah to hear the Quran directly from Allah and recite the Quran back to Muhammad alayhi salam. As for the rest of the angels, they're only able to hear the Quran. This is why they feel great joy in hearing the believers reciting the Quran. So rush, dear believers, to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth combined. That Allah had prepared for those who are fasting and for those who are standing up the nights, for those who are upon so much ruku' and sujood. This paradise, and again we're paraphrasing the ayat as the Sheikh Abdullah mentioned, is only becomes an inheritance to our servants, for those who were upon taqwa, for those who were upon taqwa. May Allah make us from them. As the ayat conclude from Surah Al-Qadr, Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. Peace all that night. There is peace and goodness from Allah to His believing slaves. Until the appearance of dawn. Until the appearance of dawn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that reach Laylat al-Qadr, the night of decree, the night of power. And make it a mercy upon us and peace and a pleasure from Allah upon all of us. Ameen, ameen. And in conclusion, as a translator, I say anything that I said that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that I said that is not correct is only for myself and or from the shaytan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.